Hello, everybody. This is Movies to Drink To. My name is Finn.
I'm Mr. Smith.
This is Mr. Smith. And today, the day of recording, is the 2nd of June, 2022. And here in the UK, we are celebrating the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. 70 years on the throne.
Isn't it platinum?
Platinum.
Yeah.
Platinum Jubilee. I apologise. Platinum Jubilee. 70 years on the throne. So to mark this historic occasion, we're going to be talking about 1996's Barb Wire, starring Her Majesty's finest subject, Pamela Anderson. Remember, Canada, what's yours is ours.
Better alive, you're coming with me.
Wendy, I'm home.
I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
Carpet Day!
Huh?
No!
Get off my plane.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what Major, you did!
I lied.
Before we go on, don't forget to like and subscribe.
Share and all of that.
Yes, all that stuff to make us popular and everything like that.
Yes.
Right, Barb Wire, comic book movie.
It is, yes. From Dark Horse Comics this time.
Yes, who did like Hellboy and...
In the 90s they became quite a big sort of thing. They've kind of disappeared, but yeah, they did have a few good properties.
Didn't they do the Predator comics as well?
They did, yes, they did for a little while. And Star Wars, they had Star Wars for a while.
Oh, wow. Yes, and it was adapted into this. Barb Wire from 1996, directed by David Hogan.
Yes.
No relation to Hulk.
Ah. Oh.
No. It stars Pamela Anderson, or Pamela Anderson Lee, as she was at the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Temuera Morrison, a.k.a. Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, yeah.
Yep. Steve Rosenbach, Victoria Rowell, Jack Noseworthy, Xander Berkeley.
Yeah.
Yes, this is this twofer. For him, because he was in Air Force One that we did.
He was. He was wildly pointless in that.
Yes, it's weird in this film. Like, wow, he's talking and doing things.
Yeah.
Clint Howard, brother of Ron.
Yes.
Udo Kier and Tom Tiny Lister Jr. I don't know why I've put it. He's in it for 10 seconds.
I was well disappointed. I was like, because I saw him on the cast list. I was like, oh, great. And then he literally does one thing and never see him again. Waste.
The plot of this is...
During the Second American Civil War in 2017, the future, Barb Wire owns a nightclub called the Hammerhead. Things become complicated when her ex-lover, Axel Hood, who is married to the fugitive Karina Devonshire, re-enters her life.
2017, you say?
2017.
The Trump administration. That makes sense.
It does, like... Yeah.
That's the plot of Casablanca.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's just the exact plot of Casablanca. Casablanca is... I haven't actually seen it, I don't think. But it's usually considered one of the best films ever made.
Yeah.
And so you'd think a film with the exact same plot...
I know, it's got Nazis in it as well.
Would at least be good.
Yeah. No, well, this film, it doesn't have much of a plot, to be fair. So if it's borrowed a bit of one...
It's got to borrow it. So yeah, Steel Harbor, 2017, Second American Civil War. There is a voiceover, which is read really quickly. Do you want to read it really quickly, like in the film?
I can read it really quickly. Yeah. Steel Harbor, 2017, the Second American Civil War. The old democracy is overthrown by a tyrannical new group called the Congressional Directorate. Every city in the nation is under martial law except one, Steel Harbor, the last free city. A secluded island of shrinking independence, it is a place marked by chaos and crime, providing a home for a new kind of mercenary.
Cue tits.
Yes, literally.
Just titties.
Yeah, the first thing you see are Pammy's tits.
Yep. She is stripping in a club with
being
water.
Hosed down. She's just being hosed down in the middle of a nightclub. And it's all filmed with like a bluish hue, which in the 90s was used for like all of your erotic thrillers.
Yes.
Everything had a bluish hue.
Apparently this whole scene was Pam Ranson's idea.
Oh, right.
So it's fine. It's fine to go, that's a great shot. Because it was her idea.
Yeah.
Yes, the lovely Pam Ranson is getting naked and her tits are just falling out of this top.
Literally.
I'm not sure they're ever in it. No. But
every costume is designed that so her boobs are like, hi.
Yeah. Look at me.
Look at me. Like she's got right said Fred trapped in a vice grip.
she's stripping in a nightclub. And there's some mouthy git in the crowd, isn't he?
Who looks a bit like a fat Alec Baldwin in some shots.
Maybe it is. he's mouthing off and he's saying to her, come here, baby, and we'll get your fucking tits out. They're already out.
Yeah.
And she has enough and throws her stiletto high heel in his face.
Yeah, literally between the eyes.
Yep.
I thought he was dead, but he's not. He's kind of like dragged off.
I thought he was dead. Used.
No, he's still alive and they drag him off.
And yeah, this is the liner, don't call me baby. Don't call me babe.
Don't call me babe.
Don't call me. You call her babe, you end up dying.
Yeah. She's a progressive woman.
Yeah.
She shows her tits when she wants, but don't call her babe.
Ever.
Ever.
You will die.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a guy in a suit that arrives and he fancies a bit of Pam.
Well, it seems like he's set up to be really important.
Yes, I thought this must be the main villain of the film.
It's got to be the villain. Yep. He's like a bit Goodfellas. Like he comes in, they set up a table right at the front for him, and he sits there and he's kind of watching. It keeps going backwards and forwards to him, like looking, and he looks over. I thought when that guy was yelling, he was going to kill that guy and be like, "Don't disrespect
barbed wire."
Like barbed wire, but no, she does it. But yeah, it seems to set up that he's going to be well important. And then the weird creepy nightclub owner comes up to him.
Yes.
And he's like, your order's in. He's like, what about the broad with the guns?
Yeah. He said, well, it's her first night, so, we'll break her in easily.
Yeah, but your order's here anyway, and I can guarantee you, as he said, she is tender as a Tuscan veal.
What?
Yeah, it's weird.
Is this the Chinese woman? Is it like your Chinese orders?
The nightclub owner is he's Charlie's landlord from Always Sunny.
Right, yes, he is,
The one he's always yelling at.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says like, oh, we've got this order for you. And then Pammy goes, she's at the back with two other strippers.
Yeah.
One of which is Chinese, apparently. Pretty sure she's talking French.
Yep. it's just like she's saying something in French and the other stripper's like, well, she's Chinese. And Pam like rolls her eyes like, oh, bloody Asians.
Yeah. Something like that. Foreigners don't even know where they're from.
Yeah. Don't know what language they're speaking.
This is the Trump administration.
Yeah.
They like foreigners.
This is how the Civil War started. this guy's never seen again.
Well, yeah,
the dude in the suit.
Yeah, the dude that's made the order.
Yeah.
Which is who barbed wire is there to save. That's who the order is.
Right. I get you. Okay, yeah. So backstage, the owner, Charlie's landlord, he wants to see barbed wire in his office.
Yeah, it goes, come and see me in the office. We'll talk about getting you another gig. And he's like...
yeah, it's not going to go well. But she doesn't go to the office. He finds her in the kitchen.
Yep.
And she kills him with a fake cigarette /dart, poisonous dart cigarette thing.
Yeah, she's like, I'm looking for a... He goes, what are you doing here? I'm looking for a light. And she goes, oh, I don't smoke. She's like... Jabs him in the... She goes, neither do I. It's like these are supposed to be like zingers. Like,
like Arnie or like Bond ones. Yeah. She is there. She frees a schoolgirl that's in the freezer of the kitchen.
Yeah, you say a schoolgirl. I mean...
It's a 24-year-old dressed up as a schoolgirl.
Yeah, she's 25 if she's a day.
Yeah.
But dressed up as a schoolgirl. So I think, you're supposed to be like, oh, that's the order. Weird.
And barbed wire, she Batmans this girl out of there.
Yeah.
With an actual bat claw and says, you ever see Batman? And they go down the side of the building. And she takes the schoolgirl back to her parents because she's actually a mercenary and she's gone to save her for money.
Yes.
And the parents like, we've only got half the money.
Yeah, he turns up to an exchange with only half the money.
We've only got half the money. And the really quite obviously very rich because he's English.
Yeah.
Guys, I've only got half the money, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're just a...
And she goes, well, you can have half of your daughter then.
Yeah. And it's like, well, maybe we can make a deal. So the deal is half the money and Pam, barbed wire, takes their convertible car.
Yeah, as well.
And drives it off in the rain with the roof down.
With the roof down, yeah. So it's fucked. The interior is ruined.
Like, because when she gets there, the car's parked under a marquee thing, isn't it? And I'll take the car. It's like, you want to put the roof up? It's quite clearly raining
a lot. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, don't call me, babe.
Put the roof up, babe.
And then there's like a bit of voiceover where Pam recaps the prologue from earlier.
Yeah.
Just literally says...
The same thing.
Yeah, the same thing.
This is her film noir fucking narration.
Yeah.
Like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Like Taxi Driver. A dark rain came and washed all the...
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And she goes, this was 2017, worst year of my life.
Worst year of a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
Then we've got the evil colonel. He's introduced.
Yeah, well, they're in Congress, which is like all knackered and falling apart.
Yeah, the Capitol building is all falling apart. This is the Trump administration. Yeah, he's torturing a woman in a boxing ring.
Yeah, which is in Congress for some reason.
Trump administration.
Colonel,
just remember that.
Colonel Nazi and his other Nazi followers.
Yeah, there is a guy, at first I was like, there's a dude there dressed like a Nazi. But later on you figure they all dress like Nazis, like SS officers.
So yeah, it's so weird. He's torturing this woman with a machine that is strapped to her face
and her boobs.
Yep. And her groin.
Yeah, it's like a bikini torture device.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it infects the mind and boobs and groin.
Yeah. It's for the three main areas of any woman.
And they electrocute her tits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
Well, when the scene first starts, she's making noises like, I was like, is that an orgasm machine? She's like,
Symbian things.
Yeah, I had to turn the telly down because I was like, if my neighbours hear this, because she's
they're going to think I have a woman here.
Moaning. Yeah. No, everyone knows that's not going to happen. But yeah, it was like, it was so odd. I was like, this is an orgasm machine. And then it electrocutes her.
And she dies.
It's not an orgasm machine.
Yeah, but they've got the information from her brain or whatever. Basically, there is someone who's going to Steel Harbor in order to get to Canada.
Yeah.
And it's a doctor that is escaping because the doctor knows about a chemical weapon.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's in her DNA.
The vaccine.
The vaccine.
The cure for the
biological. For their own bioweapon.
Yeah. Is in this doctor's DNA. Cora D.
Cora D. Or Dr. Devonshire.
Yes.
Yes. And then we've got Boba Fett with Dr. Devonshire sneaking into Steel Harbor.
Yep.
Yes, that's who they're after. That's the Humphrey Bogart's ex-lover.
Yes.
going to Casablanca. Then we get the biker bar, which is called Hammerhead.
Yeah, this is Barb's bar.
Yeah. Udo Kier is there. He works for Barb. She owns the bar.
Yes.
Yes. It can't be making much money because she's still having to go moonlight as like a bounty hunter.
Well, yeah.
And a mercenary. Well, and this is a big bar and it's busy.
It's huge, yeah.
Is she charging them?
I don't know. Just giving shit away for free.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And we also meet a blind guy that's trying to chat up a woman.
Charlie.
Carries on trying to chat her up after she's walked away because he's blind. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, he smells a perfume. And he starts going, when I smelled that, I said to myself, Charlie, this is obviously a woman of significant breeding. And then I thought, I wonder if she'd like to do some breeding, that is. Like, and she's gone already.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because there's no way that line wouldn't have worked if she'd listened.
Yeah, sure. This is blind Charlie, who is Barbara's brother.
Yeah.
And he's a drunk.
Yes.
But he's not really a fun drunk.
No, not at all. It's not fun anything.
No, he's a sit around and be miserable drunk. Yeah. Because he's blind. And then Boba Fett and the Doctor, they run into some trouble on the way there. The customs police have guns and shoot the shit out of anything.
Why are they customs police? Why is that necessary? Why can't they just be police?
Because, I don't know, Steel Harbor's the last free city, even though it's still got police and Nazis.
Anyone can just wander into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why it has to be. Oh, customs are here.
And then Udo Kier, he goes up to see Barb in her office. He's wearing a wig.
Yeah, he's bald normally. And then for just this one scene, he's
wearing a wig.
Weird, stupid wig on.
Yeah, and she takes it off immediately. It's never explained.
No.
No.
But his name is Curly.
Maybe.
So yeah, they've got why is he called Curly? I don't know. Let's make it.
Because he owns a curly wig.
In one scene.
Yeah. And he goes to see her in her office, and she's there in a corset, tits out. Fishnets, thong, high heels. Who dresses like this for work?
She's just sat in a big chair, and she's just looking out over a bar, dressed like it's what's got to be wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's dressed like a dominatrix just to go to work.
Yeah,
to sit in an office by herself. But then she's heading out,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out there is actually a reason for that because she's going to head out to pretend to be a prostitute.
Yes,
yes, to the guy from Swamp Thing. The one, that's it. The one that looked like Alex Jones.
I couldn't figure. I was like, I know him from somewhere. I forgot to look it up. But yeah, I knew him from somewhere. Yeah, and he's weird.
Yes, she's pretending to be a prostitute and propositions a guy from Swamp Thing, and they go back to his apartment.
Yeah, he demands to see. She shows him her prostitute license.
Yes, she has a license. Yes. Yeah. And gets back to his place. He drops off his porn mag stash on the side because that's where he's been out buying porn.
There's even soft porn jazz playing in the background.
Yes. But she's basically after his neighbor.
Yeah.
Yes. And Swamp Thing, he goes to get changed and he comes out in his finest gimp outfit.
Yeah.
Equipped with just the biggest paddle. Yeah. It's fucking huge. It's like comedy size.
Yeah, it's massive.
And she uses it to knock him out.
You hear the toilet flush before he comes out, and she goes, "Did you wash your hands?" And he goes, "No, I was bad." I'd be like, "I don't care, get back in there." I mean, like, it doesn't matter what perverted shit we get up to. Yeah. That's unsanitary.
Yeah, it's 2017. You don't know what's coming around the corner.
Yeah,
wash your hands.
But yeah, then she just tells him to turn around. She bats him around the back of the head with a giant fucking paddle,
and then she blows up the wall to the neighbor's place.
With a lot of plastic explosives.
Yeah, subtle is not this woman's middle name. she's dressed like that. Yeah. She must stick out like a sore thumb everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
She's blowing walls down to get to somebody. Could have snuck in the window.
Could have. Yeah, could have climbed up the building. Nobody given a fuck. It's a terrible area that these people live
exactly.
in. Exactly. But yeah, she literally makes a door frame out of plastic explosive. You see this in other films. There's just a little wad of it will blow up a safe.
Yeah.
It's lucky it didn't take the fucking building down. But she does, she smothers it with a mattress. She puts a mattress against it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't blow up the building, I suppose. She knows what she's doing. I don't know why I'm questioning it.
Yeah, obviously she does because she succeeds. These guys show up and a gunfight happens. But these are these kind of guns that can't shoot through a wooden table because that's what she's using as protection.
I've heard that, yeah. It's like, I love that when that happens in a film. You flip a table up and that's it. No bullets can pass through this thin bit of wood.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, she's perfectly safe.
She's fine. And one of the guys calls her babe.
Well, this cracked me up because she does a bit of fighting and stuff.
Yeah.
And this guy turns up with a machete and he goes, "That was nice kicking. You really know your stuff, babe." It's like, "That's nice kicking." It's like, "What martial arts style do you use?" "It's called kicking." "I'm highly trained in kicking."
That's what she's got the heels for.
Yeah. "You really know your stuff, babe." And then she's like, "Don't call me babe."
And shoots him.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah. Empties the gun into him.
Yeah. Just for that. Like, fucking hell, mate.
Yeah.
But also, she's broken nail. They make a real point of like, "No, I broke a nail." Yeah. Shit.
Just to diminish how strong she is.
Yeah, basically. This badass female lead. Yeah. But also, let's just make her really prissy. So she's gone to get this guy who was in the room.
This is Krebs.
Krebs, that's it. Mm. And she drops Krebs off to Clint Howard.
Yeah, Ron Howard's weird-looking brother. He's such a strange-looking bloke. And it's easy to forget that Clint Howard has had a long career.
Yes.
Like, is he alive? Did he die a little while back?
No, in fact, Clint Howard reprised this very role in the Pam and Tommy Hulu series.
Did he?
Yes.
I've not watched that yet. All right, yeah, I didn't know that.
Right. Yes, he's in many films. Apollo 13, well, a lot of his brothers, but...
Yeah, he was. Yeah, Ron Howard always puts him in something like that. Yeah, he's an odd looking man. There's no getting away from it. But yeah, he's a Bales bondsman or some shit.
Yes, and she wants paying, but in Canadian money.
Yes,
because the US dollar is worthless, apparently.
Yeah, so everyone wants to get to Canada.
Canada. Everyone wants to get to Canada and have Canadian money because the US is just fucked.
Yeah.
2017.
But yeah, so she takes Krebs. Mr. Krebs.
Mr. Krebs.
SpongeBob works for.
Back at her bar, she's changed into an evening dress.
Yeah.
Still with the tits.
Yeah.
Way out.
It's an evening dress with, the front of it.
Non-existent.
Doesn't really exist.
No. This is where I really started thinking, like, this bar can't be making any money. She's just had to pop out. The reason she's done that is to get money to pay the staff.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Because
Udo Kier's like, been on about, like, it's payday tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll just nip out.
How am I supposed to pay my rent? With smiles?
Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't make any sense. No. It must make a fortune, that bar. It's
well,
massive.
You think so. It's every in every shot, it's packed.
Yeah.
Like heaving.
And she, when she's there in her lovely nightgown and all that, sorry, yeah, cocktail dress, isn't it?
Yeah, napkin.
She dances with some virgin GI.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of famous.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, hey, barbed wire, can I have a dance? You look so hot tonight. She's like, sure, hon. Mm. That's how she says all her lines. Okay.
Yeah.
And they have a dance and she says, got a girl back home? Like, yeah, I sure do. Do you miss her?
Yeah.
It's like, well, let's pretend she's here tonight. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, where is this going?
Yeah, because they're just
how
dancing,
much pretending.
Yeah, I mean, I could just got a girl back home. Not anymore. I'm all yours, Bob.
But yeah, it's an odd thing. Yeah, he's about to go back to the front line.
Yes, he's on the front. The front being,
Washington.
Well, I don't know because
Washington's the
it says
headquarters.
At the beginning, everywhere in America has been taken over except for Steel Harbor. Even
so
though it kind of
the front then?
Steel Harbor. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And also, there's like, Steel Harbor's not that free. There's still like a political presence. Yeah. So I don't know. Canada, maybe they're trying to invade Canada. I don't know.
Maybe.
Then Xander Berkeley shows up. He's a policeman.
He is. He's the chief of police.
Chief of police. And they're there to check ID because there might be some underage drinkers.
Yeah.
Who knows? And Barb takes Xander for a drink up in the... the office.
In the office, yeah.
Yep.
And she gets changed.
Yes, behind one of those classic silhouette screens.
Yeah,
she's getting changed. She got changed back into her fighting gear, which is a corset and high heels. And
into a comfy gear. Oh, don't mind me. I dress down when I'm...
Xander is after the guy that she has handed to Clint Howard.
Mr. Krebs.
Yes, that's it, Mr. Krebs. The next day, Barbara's dog bites some guy's balls.
Yeah, I put a really shit actor. Impressive in the sea of bad acting that this movie is. But yeah, he walks in and he's supposed to be drunk or something. He's
I want a drink again.
Give me a drink.
Yeah. And the dog bites his nuts.
Camille. The dog is called Camille, yeah.
That's it. And that scene's over. Totally pointless. It's just there really to show that she has a dog.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Basically.
Also a dog that's not important to the rest of the story, but there it is.
It's not at all, is it?
No.
That night, Xander is back at the bar. And he is waiting for the delegation of important
Kreezer,
people.
Colonel Kreezer.
Yes.
Colonel Nazi.
Colonel Nazi. Yeah, yeah, the Nazis are visiting Steel Harbor from earlier. There's this delegation of important people from Washington, and the Nazis show up.
Yeah.
And the head Nazi, what's his name? Colonel
Kreezer.
Colonel Kreezer. He hates Xander.
Yeah.
Because he's...
Well, he belittles everyone anyway, but he seems to have a backup belittling thing.
just for Xander Berkeley. This is Xander Berkeley. You're just not Nazi enough. It's really, you need to step up your fascism.
Fucking liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Jews have you killed this week? None. That's a, wow, you just dead on it.
That's not what this war is.
No!
But yeah, he said barbed wire turns up. And he's like, oh, well, I'll introduce you to Barbara, the owner. And this Victor Kreezer is like, well, of course, even in Washington, we've heard of the great Barbara. Why?
I don't know.
What is she famous for? As a nightclub owner that's apparently not doing very well?
Yeah.
Or as a mercenary?
Well, we find out later on in the film that before her life as a nightclub owner, she was a resistance fighter.
Yeah.
So surely she is the enemy.
Yeah.
So she's famous for that. They might as well shoot her on the spot. Off to the gas chamber of you, big tits.
Exactly.
It's not fucking hell. So anyway, Barb joins the Nazis for a drink.
Yeah,
probably on the house,
which she said she wasn't going to do earlier.
Yeah,
because Andy's like, I hope you join the table. She's like, fat chance. But yes, I will.
Yes, these are on me, guys. As are all the drinks in this place. And the Nazis reveal they are looking for Dr. Devonshire, which we know.
Yeah.
But apparently she has changed appearance.
Yeah.
Yes. At this point, Boba Fett and Dr. Devonshire show up at the bar.
They just turn up.
How fucking convenient.
Yep.
And Boba Fett goes to talk to Barbara's bro. He doesn't realise he's blind yet and makes some bad, like, seen anything lately?
No.
He takes his glasses off. For real, he's got no fucking eyes. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Damn.
And then Barbara spots Boba Fett.
Barb, when she leaves the table, the Nazi table, there's an incredibly well-written gag where, as she walks away, Colonel Kreezer goes, what an impressive, what an amazing woman. And Xander goes, with some impressive assets.
Ha, ha, ha! Yes. So Barbara then spots Boba Fett and punches him in the face.
Yeah. And then they have
They've got some history, apparently.
Yeah, apparently so. But then there's this weird argument where, obviously, I don't know whether they just didn't have room to shoot it properly, but while they're arguing, they're just pacing backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Constantly. like to the point where I'm like, just like seasick. just stand still. But yeah, they just do this backwards and forwards argument for some reason. And then they keep mentioning Seattle.
Yeah, something happened in Seattle.
Yeah.
But it's not important. Nothing in this film is that important, really. Barbara's brother, he's...
Brother.
What's his name? Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
Yeah, he wants to... He sends Boba Fett to some warehouse to meet the Resistance.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes, and a woman with a robot voice who looks a lot like Rhea Ripley shows up.
Right.
And she's the leader of the Resistance.
Spike.
Hi there, my name's Spike. He's coming right for us.
Yeah. All right, Val Kilmer.
Kreb, Mr. Kreb from earlier, he's dead. And they've stolen his contact lenses.
Yeah, well, they've stolen his whole eye, haven't they, by this point?
Yeah.
But yeah, they're on about contact lenses.
Yes, which play an important role in this film.
Yes.
Yes, contact lenses.
Yeah, they're the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah, basically. And then we have a scene where a bunch of goons, 90s goons, are all killed by the Nazis. You've got the guy from The Mask. You've got the guy from Jurassic World, The Lost Park.
Oh, wow.
And another one. They've all been in, like, quite big 90s films as henchmen or goons.
Yeah.
They're all there together.
Yeah.
It's like that Batman episode where all the villains are playing cards. Almost got him.
Yeah.
But the Nazis storm in and kill them all.
Yeah, literally just burst through the door and they shoot them instantly. Also, there's a urinal on the wall in the middle of this office.
Yeah.
But they shoot them all entirely. And then Colonel Nazi and Xander walk in immediately afterwards.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, I don't know how you do things in Washington, but usually we question people first. And he's like, Colonel Nazi's like berates his man, who's like all shifty. Actually, it's probably the best acting in the film.
Yeah.
Looks well shifty.
He knows instantly, like, probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, probably should have held it off. But he's like, yeah, we were supposed to question him. He goes, oh, they resisted.
They didn't.
Yeah, but I mean, Colonel Nazi was like this far away. Couldn't he just been like, don't shoot?
Let's... Yeah. Halt!
Yeah.
Or you could have gone in first, Colonel Nazi.
Well, like... yeah.
The next day, or whatever, Barbara has been up all night drinking. She's been getting shit-faced from the whiskey.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know her, though, because she can't act drunk.
Yeah, not at all. No, she's lying.
She's just exactly the same. Yeah. She's just horizontal now with a bottle of whiskey.
And we're led to believe that she's been lying there for a while, like fucking being all sorry for herself when Charlie walks in. And she sits up and pours herself a drink into a glass of ice.
Yes. Which is...
Yeah.
Just been sat there all night.
All night, yeah.
Well, she got up, got herself a glass of ice, put it down, then laid back down horizontally, and then got up. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. Then we have a flashback. And it's revealed what happened in Seattle.
Yes.
And basically, Barb, her brother,
and
a bunch of other people were having to flee a battle
on
a helicopter. And you see Pamela Anderson in her, like, G.I. Jane gear.
Who, I'm sorry, just looks like a stripper. Like, she looks like she's about to be like, it's your birthday.
She does look like she's about to take it off and, like, start flicking her hair. She's just a very good-looking woman.
Yeah.
Can't hide it. All the fake mud makeup in the world doesn't hide the fact that she's fucking stunning.
She's not a grizzled soldier.
No. So yeah, they're about to leave on a helicopter and they're like, Boba Fett's not coming. He said go without him.
Yeah.
So he stayed behind to kind of like sacrifice. Yeah, you guys go!
Yeah, and that's why she hates him.
That's why she hates his fucking guts.
I mean, this is war.
Yeah. As the helicopter's taking off, her brother Charlie pulls her onto the helicopter to make her leave. But it's all Boba Fett's fault.
Yeah.
And she hates his guts.
You've got to understand. Like, you probably might have had orders to do something.
Yep.
He could have been saving people's lives.
Could have been safer for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And nah, fuck him. What a dick. What a selfish prick.
Yeah. He could have been holding up, I don't know, a wall that was stopping from falling on children.
Saving children.
He's Oscar fucking Schindler. He's piling them on a train. And you're like, oh, God, what a selfish prick.
Yeah, it's not a good enough reason to fucking hate him.
No, it's really not.
I mean, turning up remarried.
Anyway, flashback over. Clint Howard shows up, and they're on about the contact lenses. And basically, in this world, they've got retina scanners that identifies you and all this stuff. These contact lenses stop it. They block the scanners. And Clint wants to swap the lenses for safe passage to Canada. And she says no.
Yeah, they're like worth $2 million on the black market.
Yeah, these contact lenses. But he knows that the Nazis are after them. Mm. So he hides them in the kitchen of the club.
Yeah.
Under the sink and leaves.
Yeah, literally, whatever they're in is magnetic or something. He just sticks it underneath the
sink.
Yeah,
also it'd be weird if you were in... So he comes to the club.
Yeah.
And says all this. Like, no, I'm not interested. Goodbye. Okay, goodbye. Instead of walking out the front door, I'm just going to nip to the kitchen?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. The toilet. Where's the toilets? Like, I don't know. Yeah, just need a quick piss. But yeah, why hide them there as well?
Why not just throw them in the fucking bin? You clearly don't want them.
Yeah.
Anyway, meanwhile, the Nazis—they're going to read the minds of one of the '90s goons that was killed earlier, and this is how they figure out that barbed wire is involved in this whole Mr. Krebs contact lens bullshit.
Yeah. They see her in his memories. Also, one of the other Nazi blokes there is smoking a cigarette in the most annoying way. He's got, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's in some sort of holder or something, but he's like, he holds it sideways. Like, it's constantly going to jab himself in the eye with it. Just smoke normally, like a normal person.
Then we have barbed wire in the bath, because... You've got to get as much nudity out of Pam Ranson as you can.
The bath is also unnecessarily see-through.
It's just bubbles. actual bath
as
itself
it pans
is
up,
see-through.
Yeah, the bath is, you can see everything.
Yeah.
And then it just pans up, and then she's covered in bubbles. We've seen it already.
Yeah.
There's nothing, the bubbles are hiding nothing.
Yeah. We know what she looks like naked.
Yeah.
Bubba shows up, and she's like, oh, I have to get out of the, bath in a towel.
Pass me that tiny flannel over there.
Yes. So she... covers herself up just about.
With a flannel.
And then they get into a lift.
Yeah.
Just in her little towel.
Yep.
Yep.
Which also seems...
So the bath is on its own floor.
Yeah, it's wildly impractical.
Yeah, it's just a bath.
Have a bathroom nowhere near your bedroom or your clothes or anything like that?
It's just a bath and a towel and that's it.
Yeah, imagine in the winter.
Yeah,
you get out of the bath.
Freezing.
Yeah, fucking all running. I've got to stand in this warehouse elevator to get upstairs.
They probably would have preferred it in the winter. Like, look how erect her nipples are. This is great stuff, Pam. And as they're going up in the lift to the office, Barb starts smooching Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They full on, like, pash out.
Yeah. And a pash. How old are you?
It just came to me. And I was like, as soon as I said it, I immediately regretted it.
And they get upstairs to the office, and Dr. Devonshire catches them pashing out. Yeah.
But they're not even trying to hide. He's not even trying to stop her. And they're there in this lit, and she's like, oh, am I disturbing something? And he's like, oh, yeah, this is my wife.
Yeah, it's revealed that Dr. Devonshire is his wife. But they say, like, oh, at first it was just for legal purposes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which implies that now
they're in love.
Yeah. But that whole kissing her in the lift that he's not mentioned, that's just fine.
It's shrugged off. It's perfectly all right. There's a lot of
things. It's 1996, it's Pam Ranson. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you would.
Tamara Morrison is obviously one of the easiest relationships ever, because there's a lot of moments where he's like staring at her and everything else when his wife is just there. And she just doesn't care, apparently.
Anyway, they mentioned more about the docs developed a weapon, but she has the cure, blah, 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 blah.
Well, the biological weapon is a HIV derivative called Red Ribbon, because it's the 90s, so HIV was a big thing. Yeah, and it within her DNA is the vaccine.
Yeah.
But surely if it's a biological weapon that they're like, I don't know how they're...
About it too much.
Yeah, I am overthinking this, aren't I?
they're asking Barb to help them to get to Canada. That's what everyone wants to get to Canada. And for some reason, everyone needs her help to do it. But Boba Fett is like, Barbara, Wire, help us get to Canada. We need your help. And then the cops and the Nazis show up at the bar to search the place. And Barbara's like, go out the back and do this. And then he's like, why should we trust you? It's like, you just spent 10 minutes asking me for help. And now you're like, oh, I don't know if I can trust you. Come on.
But also there's a wildly unnecessary flash from Pammy as well. Like, well, she's like, she's just putting a robe on.
She's literally just holding it out.
Just like, look at this.
Yeah. literally just walking past, just holding the robe open with just one tip hanging out. Like that.
Like a let's see what you could have won.
Yeah.
But now you're with her.
And but her plan is to have them, as the Nazis and the cops have shown up, like, we are going to search your premises.
Yeah.
And her plan to sneak them out is to have them just walk out.
Straight past them.
And it works.
Yeah.
They just walk out. Well, like, who are these two? Like, I was having a threesome upstairs because I'm just so sexy.
A good menage.
Yeah.
Not a menage at all, just a menage. Which means household or something.
Yes, it does. French, the trois is the three part.
Yeah.
So.
But I love a good household.
Don't they speak French in Canada?
Some of them. Quebec.
Obviously not Pam Ranson.
No. But yeah, they just, so they go, oh, scan them. But Charlie, luckily, has a little gadget that fucks up the scanner, which was never mentioned before and isn't mentioned again.
And also this little scanner he's got does the exact same job as the oh-so-precious contact lenses.
Exactly. So, yeah, could have, yeah, and they go, rather than go, oh.
This whole film is now pointless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's got a... It doesn't make
it. It's got a little key fob or something that does exactly the same thing.
It's like Indiana Jones, they're looking for like the Ark of the Covenant. It's like someone just has another one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've just got one here, by the way. Like, just complete. Yeah. Everyone, like, people are dying over these contact lenses. They're worth $2 million. Oh, I've got this thing that does the exact same thing, by the way.
Yeah.
So
just literally, I got it in a cornflakes packet. It's tiny, look.
So everything that happens from now on is fucking stupid. Well, pointless, basically.
Utterly pointless. Yeah. And Charlie doesn't tell anybody he's got this. Nobody knows, but Charlie. But and
it's never mentioned afterwards either.
No, not at all. Not even once. And rather than go like, oh, the scanner's not working. Rather than go, well, let's get another one. Yeah. They only bring one.
Yeah.
And they are quite bulky, I've got to be honest. They're not really
portable. They come all the way from Washington with one.
Yeah, with one scanner.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I haven't got time for this. Just go. Yeah. You could be anyone, but just go.
Like, you are there looking for people.
Yeah.
And these two people that are with the woman you know is involved.
Yeah.
Oh, let them go. My scanner's broke. The fucking batteries run out. Did anybody bring any batteries? Tesco's isn't open anymore. Got blown up.
Yeah. So yeah, like Colonel Nazi's like disdain for Xander. He's like just fucking, he's just lazy himself.
Yeah.
Well, lazy.
And then the Nazis trash the place looking for the contact lenses.
Yeah.
And Udo Kier is very sad.
Did you also notice that just as they start smashing it up, I swear it's the same music as the opening to The Shining.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, dun. I don't.
Well, no, I can't remember how it goes now, but it's definitely that. And it does go into a different song, but those opening bars, I'm like, that's The Shining.
I did not notice.
Definitely.
Didn't remember.
Definitely.
Oh, well, I'll have a look when I edit this.
Yeah. Yeah, poor old Curly has a cry.
Yep. And then it is revealed that Barbara's blind brother has the actual contact lenses.
Yeah, he found them.
He found them somehow.
Clint put them, hid them.
Yes, under the sink.
Because he was near there.
Why would a blind man go looking under the sink? Why would a blind man know where the sink is?
Yeah. So now he has his little key fob thing and the fucking... I mean, this guy cannot be like
this guy is worth
scanners at all.
Like $4 million.
Yeah.
I don't know how he found them, but he did.
And he gives them to Barb, who wants to sell them and go to Paris.
Yep, so Barb and her bro, they head off to become rich.
Yes.
Or some shit.
Well, no, he wants to give them to the resistance.
Right.
And she wants to sell them. And go, take the money and then fuck off to Paris. Like, because Canada's not far enough now. She wants to go proper French.
This is the point in the film where they start talking about Europe as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, until now, like, their ambition started small and it's just got wildly out of control now. So, yeah, they're going to go to Paris. But Charlie's like, no, it's not about the money.
Well, he would say that. He's drunk and he's blind.
Yeah, exactly. So Barb heads off to the set of a budget Mad Max in a junkyard somewhere.
To meet an incredibly fat man
who's called Big Fatso.
Yep. Writing. Yeah. What should we call his character? What's he like? Well, he's fat. Big Fatso!
Isn't that a bit derivative? I don't care.
Big fat goalie. And he's moved around in a digger.
Yeah.
He sits in like the spade of a digger and they just transport him around, and he's just eating the world's largest chicken leg.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's like an ostrich leg or something.
It's huge.
It's giant. And it, like, every time he takes a bite, it seems to regenerate itself. Like, it never
That's why
quite...
he's so fat. Yeah. Because food is just regenerating. It's never ending. So I got a Ben and Jerry's and it's just bottomless. Clint Howard is dead in a fridge.
Yeah, he's unceremoniously just killed off screen.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know this guy. And I open the fridge and he's there with an apple in his mouth.
Yeah. Gonna eat him later. Yeah. That's why he's got the apple in his mouth.
Fucking hell, yeah. That's
I'll
not,
eat anything.
It's not an ostrich leg.
Because I'm big fat, so. Meanwhile, her bro is wandering around trying to act. And he's gone to meet robot voice Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, he's on his own, has made it with just one of those blind sticks, made it all the way to
across
the...
like a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah, which is full of like cutthroats and murderers and rapists and stuff, and he's made it perfectly fine to the docks or wherever this is.
It's the Resistance warehouse.
Yeah, this is fucking genius as well. It's bits like this that always make me think, why have I not tried to write a film properly yet? Because if shit like this gets passed like and made, fucking, can't be that difficult. He walks in and he's like, where's Spike? And his voice from off screen goes, Spike's not here. And he goes, well... He goes, I need to speak to Spike or no one else. And they're like, well, she's not here. He's like, well, I won't talk to anybody else about the lenses that everyone's looking for that I have in my possession. I know exactly where they are, but I won't tell anyone but Spike, not even you. They're like, well, surprise.
Spike is not here. But we will pass on the message. Thank you. Yeah, robot voice Rhea Ripley is dead, and the Nazis capture Big Mouth Charlie.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Absolute moron.
Just walking around blind. Is there anybody here that can help me sell these contact lenses? Preferably Spike.
Is this the warehouse I'm supposed to... I can't tell, because I can't see anything.
It's just like a sign on the door says Nazis HQ. Yeah. Is this the right place? Yes, we are the Spikes. We will broker the deal for the contact lenses, thank you. They should have just done that. They should have just pretended to be Spike. Yeah. The Resistance, like, we'll take the contact lenses. This. And then just let him walk off all happy, thinking he's sold it, like...
I need to get these fucking contact lenses that everyone's looking for to the right people. Sorry, sir, this is a Wendy's.
Meanwhile, Barb, back at the junkyard, she's brokered a deal with a fat guy for the lenses.
Yeah.
Okay, not really sure. I mean, they left together, Barb and her brother, but did they just go off separately?
They went separate ways.
And also, no one knows who has the lenses at this point. But also, it doesn't really matter because he's got a fob anyway that does the same
job.
The Nazis, they capture Blind Charlie. They torture him. And he's got some spunk, isn't he? Oh. Giving a bit of chat back.
Yeah. Like, who's got the lenses? He's like, the Easter Bunny. Oh, you.
Yeah. He's like, it's a big fat guy. He's got a red suit and a white beard. Merry Christmas! Kringle, yeah. They kill him.
Yeah, the head Nazi goes up and he looks like he doesn't really know what he's doing because he like has a little jab at the keyboard. Oh, that button.
Which button is the shock one? Kill him now.
Not the orgasm one. But...
Put him in the bikini. Barb goes back to the bar.
I love this bit as well.
To give the bar to Udo Kier.
Yeah, Curly's like cleaning it all up and he's going, oh, what a mess. The place is fucked.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroyed. There's no stock left. That's all been destroyed. All of the furniture is fucked. It's going to cost more money to to get this bar back on its feet than anyone has.
Yeah.
And she's like, and he's like, whoa, what a mess. And she's like, well, the mess is all yours now. I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Also, the place is destroyed and he's sweeping like 1 square meter of it.
Yeah.
And also smashing glasses himself. Like, fuck it.
She's like, well, this is all yours now to pay for out of your own pocket with the money you don't have. You've made quite clear you don't have to get this back off the ground.
Yep.
Congratulations.
It's 2017 and you have to start a small business from scratch.
Yep.
Good luck. Remember, a couple of years. Yeah. It's coming.
you're literally, I'm bankrupting you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
You had no money anyway.
Yeah.
It turns out that Barb also has a massive armored van in just the garage of the bar or the basement.
Yeah. Huge. Like a huge ice cream van. Like a Mad Max ice cream van.
Yeah. And then she finds, she goes off and she finds her dead brother.
Yeah, he's been crucified.
Yes, he's hung up like Jesus.
Yeah.
Nazis did love Jesus.
They did. They did. Big fans.
And then Bubba shows up. And I can't even remember what happens. Anyway.
Well, they turn up and like everyone's dead. And then they hear... That's it. They hear sobbing. And it's like Pamela Anderson's like acting moment. They just hear in the background, they hear somebody go... Like, what's that? And they go out and she's just like trying to look sad over the body. Oh, she's terrible. She's so bad.
She's not.
Like, just, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, not great much in this film.
Boba Fett seizes the moment. He's like, I can exploit this.
Yep.
He's going like, come on, let's get these lenses to the right people. Let's get my wife on the plane that she should be on. Yep. Do it for Charlie.
Yep.
And she's like, all right.
Yep. Okay, I'll do it for my dead brother. He's like, thank fuck that worked. Anyway, we get a suit up. Suit up, baby. Every gun in the world she's got on.
She straps weapons to herself in the most 90s way possible.
Yeah, but the bandoliers and all that, but not covering the tits.
No.
Because, you know,
but
that would be people might walk out if the tits suddenly weren't there.
Do you reckon there was like, when they were filming it, it was like too much.
Too many guns.
Yeah, to pass, around them, not over them.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Pamela Anderson's not renowned for being like, she's quite a slight person, isn't she? She's not massively tall or very big
built. Yeah.
So that amount of weapons, but she's able to walk.
Just fall over.
Yeah. Oh! It's like that Hot Shots. Charlie Sheen. Just like, oh.
Oh, dear. They all leave in the big van. And they go to see the fat guy in the junkyard, and she sells Fatso the lenses.
Yeah.
He pays
her with a credit card.
Yeah, he pays her with a... he gives her an actual credit card and says there's like $750,000 on that. But it's all a stitch-up.
Yeah, which is like, where's my escort? You promised me an escort.
Yeah.
And he's just completely, unpredictably, he double-crosses her.
Yes, and the Nazis show up at the junkyard.
Yeah, everyone shows up.
And he's laughing, and he's like, ha, ha, ha. He goes, I've got... the lenses now, which are worth $2 million.
Yeah.
And he's got the bounty on you, which is worth $1 million.
Yeah.
And I've got this credit card worth 750 grand. Like, that's your own credit card.
That's your money.
Yeah. So that doesn't count.
If that money's on there, you must have put it on
there. Yes. It doesn't count.
Fucking idiot.
It doesn't count. What are you bragging about, you idiot?
So I broke even, is what I'm trying to say. Haven't had to spend a penny. But when all the Nazis and stuff turn up, they all fucking pile in all these cars and they all park too close to each other. Whenever they jump out the van, they've all got to climb over the other cars to get to where they need to be. It's really weird.
And Xander is there and he is told to arrest Barb. And he does, but when he goes to handcuff her, the sly git, instead of cuffing her, he puts a grenade in her hand.
Yeah.
Yes. And she then... she holds it up.
She yells, don't move. And then she launches it directly upwards.
Yes.
Like, everyone... doesn't throw it at anyone. Yeah. That's coming back down on her.
Yeah, and also, she's not really stood that near to anyone. It's like, no. Don't move. Bang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't they just shoot her?
Yeah. Like literally, there's no other...
No.
Nobody else dies apart from her.
But it lands in the digger. Spade.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, and the fat guy...
doesn't throw it that way.
No, and the fat guy is blown up.
Yeah.
Thus destroying the lenses.
Apparently so.
Yes, and also they now escape.
Yeah.
And then we have a car chase, and there's the van, the motorbike. She's got a motorbike back in action. It's got rockets on it.
Yeah.
It's all kicking off. Bubba crashes the bus because he just can't fucking drive.
Well, no, everything's got rockets on it. The bike's got rockets on it. And she says, in an emergency, pull that yellow lever. So when they look like they're trapped, they pull the yellow lever. That's rockets.
It's rockets.
It's a lot of rockets.
The Nazis, at one point, they run away in fear of Barb on her motorbike.
Yeah.
There's like six of them armed. And she's on a motorbike. And they're literally like, they're running away. It's like, what? Just shoot her.
Yeah,
her now!
They've got the time to stand there and aim and everything else. She's on a bike.
Yeah.
Like, her aim's going to be all over the fucking place.
Yeah. It's stupid. Yeah, she's like one-handed. It's like a raw deal. One-handed, you know, shooting people. Anyway. The Nazis, they then chase Bubba up a big crane thing, which he has to climb for no reason.
Yeah, literally.
Just starts heading up.
Why do people in films do that as well? Like, where should I run to? I know, up this.
Yeah.
Like, because when I reach to the top, there's nowhere to fucking go.
And then the head Nazi, he attacks Barbara on her bike with a forklift.
Yeah.
Got you now. You had no idea you were in the presence of a certified forklift driver, did you? and then Bubba is now fighting a guy on top of the crane.
Yep.
Because action.
Yes.
Yes. And then he kills that guy, right? And then Bubba Fett goes down and unnecessarily attacks the crane driver.
Well, he's literally just like, how do I make this go forward? He goes, oh, that one there, man.
Yeah.
And he goes, how do I make it turn around? He goes, oh, this one there. And he goes, oh, thanks for asking. Elbows him in the face.
Yeah.
This guy was more than helpful.
Yeah. He probably would have done it for you if you asked.
Exactly. This guy just works there.
Yeah. He's like, hey, buddy. He's like, oh, hey, man, how are you? What's this lever do? Well, this lever here, well, that makes it go up and down. Do you want me to show you? Oh, okay. Oh, Jesus. What are you doing, you prick?
Yeah, it's like the guy at the train station in Ghost Rider all over again.
Yeah, more than
he helped you,
more than accommodating. Yeah. And but no, they get fucked up anyway. Anyway, Bubba, now that he's attacked that poor man,
yeah,
he uses the crane to pick up the forklift and the bike
and the
car that is the bike and the bike is pinned between the forklift and the car.
Yep,
and he picks all of that up. And what the fuck is going on here? As it's being lifted up, and Barbara, I think she climbs onto the crane. All I really remember from this bit is she climbs up onto the hook, the wire, and the head Nazi, he says this line, "This is just like my favorite song, I Got You, Babe." And she goes, "Don't call me babe." And then the thing breaks, and the forklift and everything falls down and kills the Nazi.
Yeah, it's basically it.
What Nazi is listening to Sonny and Cher?
Also,
surely that song has been outlawed.
Why would you say that at all? Like,
of that song?
That this reminds me of my favorite song. How does it? How does this situation? We're swinging around on a fucking massive crane, which is not helpful, by the way, Bubba Fett, at all. Like, I don't know what's gonna help her out. It's like if I pick that up and just swing it around and make it even more dangerous.
It's just like that song, "I Got You, Babe."
Yeah,
so
you can say the word "babe."
It is. It's like they were literally there. Like,
cool.
What song,
babe,
has the word "babe" in it?
Yeah.
Can anyone think of a song with the word "babe" in it? "I Got You, Babe." Are there any other ones?
Yeah.
No, literally, this is obviously before Google and Wikipedia. It's the only one I can think of.
It's just like my favourite film, Babe, Pig in the City.
So yeah, the Nazi is dead. And then the good guys have won.
Yeah.
They go to the airport, kind of like at the end of Casablanca. And it is revealed that Barb has the lenses.
They've been in her tits the whole time.
Yes.
These just come in handy for everything.
Yeah.
Don't know
what she gave the fat guy, though. Also, it'd been handy if she had the fob that Charlie had as well.
Yeah.
But I guess that died with him. Probably buried with it.
It's not in her tits, is it? No, she pulls out the tits earlier. She's got the ones that she pulls out the tits is earlier on that she gives to the fat man. That turns out to not be. Yeah, that's where I got confused. The ones that she's got to give to them, she's wearing. She like takes them out of her eyes and goes, put these on. That can't be sanitary.
No. Also, she had replica ones?
No, just
made up.
I guess there was nothing in the other one.
Oh, I don't know.
Because it was like in a tube, wasn't it? A glass tube. But that's the one she pulls out of the boobs, and gives to Big Fatso. And yeah, these ones, she's been wearing them the whole time. But then when the other girl puts them on, Cora. Her eyes are like bright blue.
Yeah, like 1984 June.
Yeah.
Like really bright blue.
But Pammy's have not been that.
No.
At any point.
No. Anyway, it gives them to Dr. Devonshire. They get on the plane safely. Then her and Xander Berkeley. Oh, she's also still got the credit card with the $750,000 on it. Somehow, yeah.
Yeah.
Her and Xander Berkeley. What's the final line? He says, like,
well, he goes, where will you go? And she's like, oh, well, I hear Paris is nice this time of year.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he goes, I do believe I'm falling in love. And she just turns around with a newsie and goes, get in line. And then it does that weird, horrible cut shot, like goes,
yeah.
And then it ends.
Yep. And she, it's actually the end, it's very Casablanca
yeah.
with her walking away at the airport, but it's raining in this and it's all
blue.
He's
looking at you, kid.
Yeah. The end.
Yeah.
What a weird film.
Yes. Garbage. It's not good. It's quite dull in places.
I'd imagine this would be quite fun to watch with a bunch of mates.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty boring.
Yeah.
If you're just sat there watching it and analysing it like we did.
Yeah.
She can't act.
She's so bad in that.
God bless her, but she can't act.
I mean,
she was never known. She wasn't really, you know, no offense to the woman, she wasn't put in Baywatch for her acting ability.
No.
All this film.
There's a reason she's not in films anymore.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, yeah, when she played CJ in Baywatch, I mean, she was playing herself pretty much as a lifeguard. Whereas now this was like, right, we've got to be this badass mercenary with attitude. And
yeah,
stuff.
And this was kind of supposed to be her like transition from TV star to movie star.
Yeah.
And it did.
But this was going to be a franchise.
Really?
Well, this is what it was originally planned to be. Was like a big franchise, and of course, like it was just
no
panned.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like her way of acting, like attitude, is just to talk in a monotone, like almost whisper.
I don't think Pam Ranson is a real like badass, stern, tough person in real life.
No.
So. I guess in order to portray that, like just talk like this all of the time, and it's not good. And also, yeah, it is the plot is Casablanca, but I don't, I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure in Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart doesn't go out at night to pretend to be a prostitute to make money selling his bods on the streets of Morocco.
There's not a scene where he's got his leg up on the fucking doorway trying to entice somebody in
for extra money because the bars don't make any money. It's not,
hey big boy.
it's fun in parts, and I think the cast probably were aware that this isn't going to be great. Like fucking Rails back, and I think Xander Berkeley just kind of run with it. Like,
yeah, Tamara Morrison as well. I mean, this was after he did Once Were Warriors, I think, which was his breakout movie.
Yeah.
And is fantastic.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's so good. It's like, it's a New Zealand film. It's very gritty, but he's amazing in it. And I don't know if this was his first big Hollywood film, but if it was, then it's amazing that he's still going.
Yeah.
But he does try in a couple of bits.
Yeah, the supporting cast aren't
that bad.
Xander Berkeley
is very much like, fucking, I know what this is.
Yes, yeah. He seems very aware, as does Railsback, that this is just, let's just do it.
Yeah.
right. Trivia, not a lot of trivia that was interesting. The budget of this sucker, $9 million.
$9 million.
The worldwide box office gross, 3.7.
Wow.
It lost money. It was panned by the critics. It was a failure on pretty much all levels. what else? Oh, and also, the original comic book ended its run shortly after this film's release.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
People probably just stopped buying it. Yeah. I've never read the comic. I might one day dig it out, like just as a curiosity.
Yeah. The original director, Adam Rifkin, was replaced shortly after shooting began because they didn't like his dailies, even though Rifkin had way more experience than Hogan.
I've heard of Rifkin.
He did Detroit Rock City.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And other stuff, but I think that's probably what it's best known for. And Pam Ranson, to her credit, did a lot of her own stunts.
Oh, wow.
And
I mean,
there are shots on that crane
where
it's quite obviously not her.
Yeah.
But there's also shots on that crane where it very much is her. And you can see.
There's also a bit where she's on a motorbike, which definitely isn't her.
Yeah. But there is bits in it you can, like, it's definitely her.
Yeah.
And did it in high heels. And also, she's afraid of heights. So credit to the woman.
Yeah.
Right. That is pretty much all the interesting things I could find out about this film.
Wow.
Comments.
I only had one, actually, looking at it.
I had a couple.
It was My Little Slice of Hell Network. I've not seen it since it came out on VHS, though it's not terrible. It's not great unless you love Pamela Anderson. Then it's still not great. You just get to see her in a tight plastic costume. It's very true.
And out of one.
And out of one. Barely in one.
this from Young Mitchell III, David Mitchell, not the actor, a guy I know. I only watched it when I was 12 because I wanted to see Pam. I remember it being fucking shit. Yeah, same. I think I watched it at young just because, like, oh, Pamela Anderson.
I do. I definitely saw it when it came out.
Yeah, 12-year-old boys. Like, yeah. I wonder if we'll see any boobs. This is obviously before, like, you know, internet and stuff like that, when you could just see it on your phone. Yeah. to really, you know, hunt down naked images. And here's Johnny79. Check out my review of this. Failing that, I saw this in the cinema. Everyone walked out but me. I couldn't actually find your review, so I didn't. Plus, I was busy watching this film, unfortunately. That was Barbed Wire from 1996. God bless the Queen. And I couldn't give a shit.
No.
But thank you, Canada.
Yes.
For Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, at the very least.
At least.
Thanks.
That'll do.
Yeah.
That'll do. You've contributed all you need to the world. right. That's it, I think. Shorter one than usual.
Shorter than usual.
But there's not a lot going on in that film.
No.
Right. Hope you enjoyed it. And as we said at the beginning, don't forget to like and subscribe and all that stuff. That would be nice. And we will see you soon.
Ta-ta.
Ciao.
Well, thank you all for coming here tonight and drinking all of my booze. Oh, really. Please leave. The party's over. Get out.